Larissa Crawford. I am currently based on Treaty 7 territory, the traditional territory of the Blackfoot Confederacy, the Tsuut'ina Nation, and the Stoney Nakoda Nations, as well as the Métis Nation Homeland Region 3. I carry Métis ancestry from Penetang, Ontario, and I carry Afro-Caribbean ancestry from Jamaica. And I pass this ancestry on to my four-year-old daughter, Zyra. And yeah, about me, I mean, I do a lot of stuff. I'm really committed to decolonization and indigenization work. I'm really passionate about understanding the healing power of knowing our history, of knowing our action, the actions and inactions of our ancestors, and understanding the history of racism, the history of colonialism, the history of capitalism.
And what pushed you to dedicate yourself to this type of work?
It really comes from appreciating the healing qualities of having a deeper and systemic understanding of what we're seeing today and where, how we came to be where we are. And in my personal journey, this is where I found a lot of healing and direction, is from understanding my personal ancestry. And for example, understanding that some of my Métis ancestors owned Mohawk slaves, or the fact that I carry a slave master named Crawford. That to me, and in critically reflecting on this and on my journey, especially in the past several years, has really helped me understand how so much of the adversity I face and that my family's faced, so much of the trauma, so much of this internalized inferiority that I've carried for so much of my life are the consequence of living legacies of harm caused.
What do you get out of learning about and from your past?
When I came to understand kind of how these patterns have shaped and these actions and inactions have shaped my reality today, and understanding how that's happened, and understanding that what I experience is not an individual incident, I've been able to alleviate a lot of guilt, a lot of that internalized inferiority. I found a lot of healing, and I found a lot of purpose, because in understanding and in being aware of these living legacies, I recognize the responsibility to do something about that.
One of those being the creation of Founding Ancestors. Can you tell us more about the initiative?
We launched in April 2020, so it pretty recently. A way that we describe ourselves is we're an Indigenous and Black-owned, youth-led professional services social enterprise. That's a mouthful. But essentially what we do is we seek to advance climate justice and systemic barrier removal with lenses of anti-racism and ancestral accountability. It's really exciting. We offer speaking, training, research, consulting, and we've invested a lot of time in exploring how we want to do business differently, how we need to decolonize the way that we understand how business is done. Because all of us identify as Black, Indigenous, racialized, LGBTQ2S+, or disabled, every single one of us doing this work. And we have all experienced a lot of trauma in workplaces. And so we wanted to make sure that in creating this business, we're also responding to all of the things that we just did not like or appreciate in our other workplaces, or that we've seen in other places.
Now, I've heard you mention how you didn't prioritize a Western education. What do you mean by that?
I don't have a master's. I don't have a business degree. I don't even have professional business training. A lot of my education in terms of social enterprise work has come from the workshops I did throughout university. A lot of my education has come from fellowship programs, especially Indigenous-led and decolonial fellowship programs. That's where I'm learning how to run a business in a different way. And I'm so glad that I didn't prioritize a Western education of what business should be. Because now those businesses who are running exactly like they're taught in school are coming to us and realizing, you know what, this isn't sustainable. We can't continue working in the way that we've been taught or the way that is popular to set up a business and operate.
One of your biggest passions is also climate change work. What's the connection between climate change and anti-racism work?
Tackling racism requires us to tackle climate change, and the root causes are one and the same. If you look at kind of where our understanding of race comes from and when it began to be scientifically proven that we were separate and unequal races, no longer one human race, but separate races, it came in the early 16th century, which coincided with the birth of modern colonialism and the transatlantic slave trade. So at this time, you were seeing colonizing nations, traveling out, exploring, and then settling on indigenous lands around the world in the interest of extracting natural resources, in the interest of dispossessing indigenous peoples from their lands. You see these colonizers stealing indigenous peoples from Africa, bringing them to their colonies, and exploiting their labor under this capitalist system in the interest of extracting resources. But if we also look at why they wanted to do that, we can then become more clear in how the root causes of systemic racism are directly the same. I'm not even going to say aligned. They are the same as the root causes of climate change. Because these practices of colonialism and capitalism have led to the climate change that we see today. And so if we are to say that we are working in the environmental sector, that we're trying to address climate change, then we cannot do that work without recognizing how certain people have been dehumanized in the interest of the practices that have led to climate change. Some people working in the climate sector or in sustainability or in climate change work, think, you know what, that's actually not that important to acknowledge. Or if we just address the more direct or more obvious parts of climate change, that everything else will fix itself. No, we need to recognize and actively recognize